The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely gorgeous...
On a bike.
Miss On a Bike.
How are you?
I'm all right, Bird. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm well.
You're looking good.
Thanks.
How's your legs?
Sore.
What have you been doing?
Riding.
Have you?
Yeah, racing, riding, riding, racing.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you got anywhere yet?
Well, I'm riding my new gear. It's very exciting.
Oh, nice.
I get loads of people talking about it.
Yeah.
And Cars in Kent have said to me they're
your fan club.
My fan club, thanks,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
They're loving my apparel as well, so I'm really excited. It's nice to have something tangible.
Yeah, good.
How are you? What's new for you?
I'm all right. Hold on a minute. I want to talk about your lycra.
I want to talk about your lycra.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm interested. Because you've gone to...
I've got it today.
Yeah, show us.
Well, you can't see on radio, can you?
I can see. I want to see it.
Yeah. Look, it's lovely.
Yeah, that's no, cool.
Yeah, and I'm riding in Wales at the weekend.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Down the pub then, is it? I'm sorry if that's a terrible Welsh accent.
What are you doing in Wales?
Racing. Time trialing. Yeah, yeah.
A time trial. Is it up a mountain?
No, thank the Lord, it's down.
Down a mountain?
Yes. I can't wait. My teeth will be out. I promise you, we were racing at the weekend.
Cool.
And I think I've got something wrong with me. Because I really don't think I'm normal because my teeth come out like this. And then I'm just going as fast as I can. So yeah, it's not right, is it? Anyway, how are you? What's new in your world?
I'm not sure, really.
Why?
Well, I've just been, you know, busy as normal, mm-hmm. doing stuff, trying to get stuff done.
Yeah.
As always, just invested in a new business, because you do.
Okay, why?
Because I said I wasn't going to do any more, now that I've got 10 businesses.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, what's the outcome?
Of what?
Why have you bought another business?
I have no idea.
Huh.
I've no idea.
So what was it that enticed you to go, actually, yeah, that's a good decision?
I don't know. I don't think like that.
Okay, so how do you think?
Randomly. I go, yeah, I'll do that. Why am I doing it? I don't understand that concept. No, but I'm not like you.
A businessman.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm not a businessman, Bird.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I always look at the outcome. I always go, right, what's the outcome? What do I want? And then I'll make that decision based on what's there.
No, see, I'm a wanderer. See, what actually happens? I'm a wanderer. I just go, oh, that looks interesting. I'll do that for a little while. And then I'll go, why did I do that? I don't know. It just looks interesting when I did it.
So therefore, do you lose more money than you make?
Well, interestingly, the very first business I ever invested in as an angel investor made a truckload of money. Since then, I've lost quite a lot of money, but at the moment, I'm still up.
Right.
But only based on the first one, really.
Is that because you just keep actioning and you keep investing, or what's the secret to the investment that you're making? Because there must be something.
No, I mean,
is it ego? What is it?
No. I invest in things that look interesting, and I invest in things that I understand. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I wouldn't invest in a business that I had no conception of or, you know, was something outside my sphere of experience or knowledge. So the vast majority of businesses that I'm invested in are digital,
right?
Online businesses, because that's what I know, obviously.
Are you ranting much this week?
No, I haven't ranted a lot this week, actually.
Is that because the royal wedding's about to happen and you're all a romantic?
No, me, romantic.
Yes,
no,
you are.
Don't listen to her, Amanda. She's talking nonsense.
She's already been rude to me on Twitter, anyway. Yeah.
Well, she's not listening today because she's having her hair done.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't want that said on the radio, but anyway, carry on.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, now you're in trouble. So what do you know in business at the minute? Give us something that we can get our teeth into. You can go, oh my God, Brad, that happened. We all need to be doing this.
I don't know about that. What I can tell you is I just did an interview with some really interesting guys in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
They run a group called Y2PG, and they're based in Pakistan, and they're basically trying to encourage young people into the world of work and business.
This is big at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I did an interview with them talking about the attributes that people look for in business now since... Most of business, I don't want to be too controversial here, but since most of business gave up on qualifications like GCSEs and degrees and stuff like that in the UK, businesses have been looking for other attributes, which are mostly thinking skills and soft skills and communication skills.
Mm.
So we did a big interview for an hour in Karachi with talking about such things.
Nice. I've got some news to tell you.
Go on then.
It's very exciting.
Go on then.
Well, it's not to plug my show that's on tomorrow from 1 till 2 called The Conversation.
No, don't plug it. Don't mention it. I tell you what, Bird, don't mention it.
Don't mention it. I won't mention my show.
Don't mention The Conversation. I'm Wednesdays, not, 1 o'clock with Bird.
I'm not. You guess who I've got in tomorrow?
Who's your guest?
Kevin McCann.
Really?
I have. I am so excited. So. Right. Your partner in crime,
right,
of the radio station.
Yeah, Kevin can, eh?
So it'll be interesting to see what he's going to say tomorrow,
yeah,
and where we're going to take the conversation, because he's just lived a colourful life, hasn't he?
He has indeed. Most people don't know, but Kevin's my business partner in the radio station here, but he's also a very accomplished writer. And he wrote biographies of David Bowie, and David was a really good friend of him before he sadly passed away. And he's written...
Paul Weller. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he'll just bring him in for a coffee.
Yeah, just drag him in. Yeah.
So, Kevin, if you want to bring Paul Weller in, I don't mind, as a guest.
So, Kevin's pretty well connected in the music business.
Do you see what I've done there, though?
Yeah.
Kevin, do you want to come into my show?
Yeah.
That'd be nice to have you.
Yeah, can you bring Paul Weller with you?
You've got some real wisdom to share.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
It will. And Kevin's done a lot of things. He's run some successful businesses. I do believe, he'll tell you this, that he still has a business venture, I do believe, I can't think who he is now.
Excellent.
Brian Eno. Thank you. I think he's still got a business with Brian Eno, I do believe. Yeah.
I'm really excited. I want to hear what he's going to say.
Good. So, good. We'll listen to Bird's show that we won't tell you about tomorrow.
That we're not going to plug, that's on at 1 till 2.
Called
The Conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. Have you done anything else? Have you got another event coming up soon?
Yes.
Have you?
I have got another event coming up soon. Here we go. While we're on Bird's show.
Yeah.
I've got Release Your Brilliance coming up.
Have you?
Yes. But you've got us coming into the studio.
We have.
Well, you had no choice really, did you?
No.
I just said... Oi,
I'm coming.
Can I bring my mates with me?
Yeah.
So yeah, Release Your Brilliance. It's we've sold over half now, and it's just crazy. It's gone crazy.
Good.
So yeah.
Right. Well, we'll start the show now. 11 minutes in.
Have we done a little chat with you?
Yeah, I know.
You weren't really talkative before we went on air.
I know.
You're being all professional and all that nonsense.
Was I? Yeah.
Even Sean was a bit surprised.
Yeah, it's unlike me, isn't it? Really.
Well, I like it. I quite like the. The professionalism of you. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, thank you.
Pleasure.
Yeah, that's all right. I want to say a big thank you to today's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at Operational Accounting Systems, OAS. You can follow them on their Twitter, @O_A_SYS. Do give them a follow. So thank you to them for sponsoring today's show. And I also want to make a big announcement that the biggest Business Bunker show is now incredibly pleased to partner with the lovely folks at Agilis Mobile.
I saw that.
Who are now our official mobile communications providers.
I'm going to speak to them about me.
Yeah, you should. I've got Agilis Anywhere. Agilis Anywhere SIM. It's fantastic.
In a pink.
And what phone. It does, yeah, that was my mum's old phone cover.
Oh, bless.
I had to mug her for it. She put up a fight. For someone of 89, she did put up a fight and stop me getting that. I tell you what, she nutting me and everything.
You've got to anyway. Wonder why.
I don't know where that came from.
No, but anyway, I'm trying to ignore it. I looked anyway, at you like...
Yeah. Anyway, Agilis Anywhere is a fantastic concept. It's a SIM that will lock on to the strongest signal wherever you are. So it doesn't matter what
it's
network
genius.
It is. It's genius. It's brilliant. And there isn't anywhere. I was even... Tina, who's the customer service director there, I was texting her from a tunnel, the Sydenham Tunnel, if anyone knows it, on the main line into Charing Cross. I was actually in the tunnel, and I still had a signal, would you believe?
Yeah, I'm going to speak to them, because I'm just about to.
Huh?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Good, I'm pleased, because they've done some brilliant work. When they came in, they gave us loads of freebies, so I quite like that.
Yeah, so thank you to Agilis and to OAS. Systems, Operational Accounting Systems, for your support. We do appreciate it. We've had loads of tweets in already. If you do want to get in contact with us, you can get in contact with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford 01233 0800 222 0035, or you could email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me and to use the hashtag BBunker. We have had a lot of tweets already, and I'm going to read one. I've had a tweet from the lovely Rowena Horton, and she says, please could you give the wine lady, that's a hashtag, a shout out on the hashtag Business Bunker. We have wine from the south of France on Friday at 7:30 p.m. at Stag's Love Coffee. So I'm not sure where that is, Stag Coffee, but there is an Eventbrite where you can book your place, and it's eventbrite.co.uk/wine tasting.
Well, while we're talking about wine, and it just seems to flow beautifully right into it, are you getting ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
We have Squoff and Quaff.
Yeah.
So at Vanilla Web, having a smashing bee bunker with Bird and a Bike, I'm currently researching for our summer drink special show on Tuesday, the 5th of June, with guests.
She's researching.
Can you imagine?
Oh, how quaint.
Exactly.
What that means is she's in the pub.
She's in Spain.
She's in the pub and she's on her third bottle of Prosecco,
but she's researching.
What that
means. Yeah, so we've got Squoff and Quaff back again, haven't we?
We have indeed, yeah. But she's researching.
Yeah.
Of course she is.
I love her commitment to the cause.
I mean, it's awful all the amount of drink she has to consume in the course of research, isn't it?
Exactly.
Absolutely. So what else you got?
Well, I've already mentioned them, but they deserve a big mention, and that's cars from kent.com. And this is Afternoon Bird and a Bike. Loving the new bike gear. Can we have a bee bunker shout out, please? Buy, sell your local car locally on cars from kent.com. There you go, chaps.
Right.
There's your shout out.
Absolutely. And also, 4 roles, 4 goals. Please, Vanilla Web, we'd like to have a Business Bunker shout out. We'd like to announce our new 4 roles, 4 goals ambassador on the Business Bunker show. We'll send you details. Okay? Go on.
Please.
Yeah.
We've also got Supply My Business, High Business Bunker, Bird and Bike and Vanilla Web. Can we have a huge shout out, please, for our Stand 215 at Kent Vision Live tomorrow? And that's in collaboration with Alexi Consultants and Gemma Fairclough Haynes. Hope
cool.
to see you there. So that's Kent Vision, 16th of May. Where is it to?
What?
Where is it to? Where is it?
Where is it?
Mm.
It's at the Declan Showground at the
Event
Centre.
There we go.
Yeah. It's tomorrow.
Don't you start on my where is it to as well.
It's a
colloquial saying. You know, like you got told off earlier, Andrew, about
I
your colloquial
told off
saying.
Earlier, yeah.
Well, I say where is it to? Drive Stephen mad.
Where's it to?
Yeah. Where is it?
That's not even English.
Yes, it is. Of course
they're
it is.
They're not even English words.
Well, the Cornish and Devonshire aren't, are they, really?
Yeah, it's pirate, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's pirate.
Where is it to? Where is it at?
Were you taught that by some mangy parrot?
I can't wait till Natalie comes on in a minute. You won't give her much grief, will you?
No, she's French.
It's de France.
Well, she's de France, isn't it?
Anyway.
I'd leave you to it.
Yeah,
I would. We've had another tweet from 4 roles, 4 goals.
Yep.
And they said, could you give a shout out on a Business Bunker show also with the exciting opportunity for businesses to raise their profile by sponsorship of a junior press team at an event? And the event is at Kent Cricket at the County Cricket Ground at Beckenham. Let me just quickly explain what 4 roles, 4 goals are doing. They're a not-for-profit organisation that are finding work experience for young people. And they do it by assembling press teams, yeah? And they take them to sporting events. They've been to Brands Hatch to the Superbikes. They've been to Dartford to football. And they're now going to County Cricket. And basically the team do all the things that the press would do on a day at a sporting event. So they have radio shows, TV shows, interviews, they write reports, they interview people and stuff like that. It's a fantastic experience for the young people. It gives them a lot of experience of doing lots of different things on the day, and they find out all the things that go on behind the scenes at a sporting event, you know. So it's not just about the sport itself, it's about ticket sales and hospitality and all the stuff that goes on around it. And the way that 4 roles, 4 goals work is they get corporate sponsors to sponsor the young people doing it, yeah? And then they get them lots of publicity. So that's what it's all about. And they're now looking for a sponsor to sponsor the junior press team that are going to the Kent T20 cricket at Beckenham.
They could do the FA Cup, couldn't they?
They could indeed.
Saturday.
They could indeed. So if you want to get involved in that, do contact Nicola at 4 roles, 4 goals, and their Twitter handle is the number 4 roles, number 4 goals. And just to let you know that their new ambassador apparently is me.
Well done.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Yeah.
As a result.
There you go.
They came on the radio show and they conquered, didn't they? Exactly. That was what she did. That's what she did.
Absolutely.
We've got a shout out here from Ethel Bray Limited. Shout out, please, for anyone wanting to address mental health and well-being in their staff. Our half-day sessions run by Hillary, our occupational therapy trainer, are practical, informative and supportive. So you can call Kate on 01892 832 059 to discuss further. Super important at the minute. It's really one of the biggest topics that we're talking about, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. We've had a tweet from Sally Laker, who's reminding us all, and thank you for doing that, Sally, that this week is National Deaf Awareness Week. So do think about that. Just from my own point of view, as I'm heavily involved in that, as I am the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and I am in fact deaf, when you're talking to deaf people, can I give you some tips? Basically, face them. Look at them. Talk one at a time. Don't talk too slowly, but don't talk too fast. Talk loud enough, but not too loud. But have patience. That's the thing. When we can't hear you, it's not because we're being difficult. It's because we can't compute what you're saying. And sometimes that's not because we can't hear the words. It's because we haven't attuned to what it is you're talking about. What I do with Amanda is I make her open a new tab when she starts a conversation about something different. So she walks around going, new tab, talking about Venues Expo. And then I know what she's talking about, you see.
Right.
And it makes it much easier.
Do you know what, Louis, my little one who lives in Brighton,
he
lives with a family, hosting family, and they're both deaf, born deaf. And it was the most amazing experience that he could have put himself into.
Yeah.
And they are just phenomenal. I mean, athletes, they're, you know, been to the Paralympics. They're just remarkable. And I go down and you're exactly right. You just face them. Even something silly like activities of daily living, you think you're going to knock on the door or you can't do any of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really interesting because you naturally go into that role of, oh, how are they going to be able to communicate with me? They're amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you're struggling with someone deaf to make them understand, write it down. Write it down and show them. Yeah, cool. Anyway, so it's National Deaf Awareness Week. Do support people. It's amazing how many people have hearing impairments out there in the world.
And don't want to talk about it. That's the interesting thing.
What?
They don't want to talk about it.
What?
I didn't do the joke. I didn't do the joke with total respect.
Sorry.
I suppose you can.
Yeah.
Anyway, are you going to this, Black Deer?
I am.
Let's move. Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Well, do you know what? We mentioned it last week, and I'm thinking of taking everybody this time.
Yeah, I'm going.
Because it looks amazing, doesn't it?
It is awesome. They've got Kiefer Sullivan. They've got Glenn Campbell's daughter there. They've got everybody. I'm really looking forward to it. There's lots going on. Three days.
So let me explain what it is. Black Deer is the Festival of American and Country Music. And this is at Edridge Park on the 22nd to the 24th of June. Basically, they've got everything there. They've got everything American. Just go there. You can camp, can't you? Are you camping?
You can camp. No. But you can camp or you can glamp.
Right.
So they've got glamping and they've got camping.
Excellent. Well, there's custom motorcycles, artisan and makers, kids' adventures and activities, creative workshops and talks, smokehouse cooking and a barbecue competition. There you go. So, got to be done June the 22nd to the 24th. And if it's anything like the weather we've got now, it will be amazing. So that's blackdeerfestival.com. Go check them out.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I'm going to...
Are you done that on purpose?
I have.
I'm, no, you haven't. You've
yes,
just...
no, no, I have. I have. I've done it on purpose because it's an incredibly long track.
Okay.
I just wanted to duck it a little bit. And
That's professional, isn't it?
Yeah. See,
yeah.
There's no
fries
on me.
I do this.
Yeah,
on my show.
I know you do. I'm copying you, you know.
I know.
So I thought I'd play this track, basically, for our guests in the second part of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
And I went to great trouble to get this track, I have to tell you.
Do you think it'll be appreciated?
I don't know. I just wondered if anybody even knows what it is yet. Can you tell what it is yet? Well, go on,
no.
Sean.
Could be Jean-Michel.
I think it's Pink Floyd, isn't it?
No.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. I do. I just can't.
I just don't want to crash the vocals.
Oh!
It's 10cc. Yes. Art for art's sake. Of course it is. Yeah.
Art for art's sake.
Have a listen.
I should have known, shouldn't I? Open your heart.
Money.
bring a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Venues and Events Expo Southeast at the Kent Event Centre, Detling, on Thursday, 31st of May. A one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for their events. Whether you are organising a business event, meeting, seminar, conference, workshop, team building or a corporate party, you will find everything you need in one place. We have a variety of talks from industry experts and a series of masterclasses including team building, well-being and much more. To find out more and to book your free place, visit www.venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to Business Bunker Show on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely...
Miss on a bike.
Yeah, bird.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
I've got a tweet from Supply My Business, and they say, "Hi, Business Bunker, Bird on a Bike and Vanilla Web. Can we have a huge shout-out, please, for our stand number 215 at Kent Vision Live tomorrow, in collaboration with Luxeye Consulting and Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. Hope to see you there. Many thanks." Yeah, go on.
I already did it.
Did you do that?
Have you? Yeah, you never listen to me.
Have you been FIFOing again?
You literally just stole... I already said that.
You've been FIFOing, haven't you? Reading from the top of the list.
No, you just aren't listening to me. It's horrific.
Cool. Good.
The well-being show.
Are you doing that one again?
The well-being show. I'm not there.
No. I did it earlier.
No, you did not.
Oh, no, I didn't.
No, you did not. The well-being show at the Stag Plaza, Friday the 18th of May. This is 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Free entry, free talks and demonstrations, stalls and networking. I was just having a look on their website. They've got loads going on there, from nutrition to conversations to forever living. Everybody's there. So go along and check it out. It's always good to see what's going on.
Absolutely. The Networkers Networking event.
Yes.
It's fast approaching.
It is. It's Thursday.
Thursday the 17th. Now, I'm going to tell you about it in a minute, but what I have to tell you is there are no lunchtime tickets left. It's completely sold out. There are just 3 tickets left if you just want to join in for the rest of the day. There are refreshments as part of that ticket, but no lunch. But you can also join a networking event at the end of the day on their private safari as well.
Safari Sagiddy.
Yeah, so that's a Networkers Networking event. It's a full-day event. It's all about networking and helping business owners to be more productive with their time and to make great connections. It's set in the stunning location of the Port Lim Hotel. It's this Thursday, 12th of May, from 9:30 to 3:30, but you can pop along whenever you want. There's 3 great speakers, some of the best networking and masterminding groups in Kent, and more than 50 business owners to meet. The speakers are Ali Hollands, she's an award-winning clinical hypnotherapist and successful businesswoman. Molly Wright of Millie Molly Moodle, she's the founder of Molly Moodle Media. Molly Wright has worked in marketing for over 7 years now, and Molly will be sharing with us the power of online networking via social media. And the lovely Amy McManus, founder of AM Marketing. I've got a theory that those 3 people meeting in a room, the energy will generate a new black hole.
It'll be crazy.
There will be a new black hole in the
are
universe.
Are you emceeing?
I am indeed.
Of course.
Who's it for? Business owners and serial networkers. Networkers looking for the next step. People who've just started networking or people that are networking already but are frustrated because it's not working for them. It's an all-day event. Attendance at the event, but without lunch, is £20. And you can book your ticket, but there are only three tickets left at butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE.
Exciting.
Good stuff.
Good. Are you ready for this? Seeing you've given it to me.
Yeah, go on.
Here we go. So the Festival Musica Nigella. So you gave this to me last week.
Hold on. I want Natalie to read it.
There you are, Natalie. You can't. What, in French?
In French.
What, with a French accent in English?
No, just in her gorgeous French accent.
So I need to do the translation instantly.
No. You can read it in English, Natalie, okay. But in your gorgeous French accent so that I don't murder the places that I normally do in my Cockney French.
Well, it's one page long. Do you want it all?
No, just to paraphrase it.
Okay, well, it's the Festival Musica Nigella.
Mm-hmm. It's a classical music festival.
So yeah. It's an annual international classical music festival that takes place on La Côte d'Opale.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the festival returns with its 13th edition from the 21st of May to 3rd of June with the theme, The French Touch.
The French Touch. Say that again, I like that.
Yeah. French Touch.
Oh, good. I like it.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, it's got us going, hasn't it, Andy? Yeah.
And it's a lovely place. La Côte d'Opale is a superb area.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, further down the email, it does tell you where some of the locations are. Do you want to read those out and then give us the website where people can book their tickets? Yeah.
Home of the festival is the small picturesque village of Tigny Noël. Tigny Noël lies between the Baie de Somme, another beautiful area as well, famous for its ornithological park. That's not very ornithological.
I couldn't get that either.
Le Marcanterre and the charming medieval town of Montreuil-sur-Mer, gateway to the rolling green countryside of Les Sept Vallées. Uh-huh. God, it's challenging.
Sounds good.
In 2016, Montreuil-sur-Mer came second in the competition to find what the French considered as their favorite village.
Mm.
I didn't know that.
It's beautiful, though.
It is.
Did you know?
Montreuil.
No, it is, but I didn't know it came that high.
Mm.
Le Touquet Paris Plage et Berck-sur-Mer. I accentuated a bit.
So these are all new
seaside
to me.
Seaside resort towns, famous for their extensive white and sand beaches, are also close at hand. And the website is musicanigella.fr.
Thank you. That's beautifully read.
I guess they're
it's lovely music. There.
It is. So basically, there's a whole series of classical music events taking place over the week in different places along the Côte d'Opale.
Yeah, near Pas de Calais.
And it's really easy to get to from Kent and the southeast of England. Mm-hmm. So do pop over and
attend some of them. Or you can fly if you want.
You can fly.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can
yeah,
walk.
There is an orthological
park. Go on your bike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I often go over there. Or kite surf. They do loads of kite surfing just off the coast there of Berksmere.
Well, thank you for that, Natalie. It was beautifully read. And I will give you some pointers later on the pronunciation of some of those places.
Yes, please.
Cool. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure now to work on our first guest of today. For today's show, and it's his first time visit here, and he probably won't come again based on what he's seen so far. But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Andrew Murch. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Andrew works for Nucleus IP, and you are intellectual property attorneys, I do believe.
We are. We like to think we're the friendly face of the legal profession.
Okay. So just... for those of us that don't know, which is probably most of us, you specialise entirely in intellectual property issues?
We specialise entirely in intellectual property issues. I mean, most people these days are perhaps a little more familiar with IP because they will probably have seen or heard it mentioned on programmes like Dragon's Den.
Mm.
They won't necessarily understand how it works.
Sure.
And you can tell from some of the things the dragons say that often a lot of them don't really understand how it works.
Right.
But the fact that people are talking about it means it's more in the public awareness than it used to be, which is a good thing.
Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and you're probably going to go, no, Paul. No, you're totally wrong. But I'm going to go for it anyway. Would it be true to say that intellectual property is now more prevalent than it's ever been? And the reason that I'm saying that is that there are so many new developments, new things coming along, and digital-based technologies that kind of reinvent how you do things all the time?
Yes, to an extent. I mean, IP's always been there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't always been called Nucleus. We've had various names over our history, but we're probably one of the oldest trademark-only firms. We were founded in, 1886?
Okay.
So...
That's an interesting comment that you just made. So let's start with that. Maybe let's start with some definitions of intellectual property, because we've used the term intellectual property. You just used the term trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Are they mutually exclusive, or are they interchangeable? What are the different?
Well, there are lots of rights that sort of sit underneath that intellectual property umbrella.
Yeah.
So you have patents that protect inventions.
Yep.
You have trademarks, which effectively protect the brand names under which those inventions may be sold.
Yep.
You have copyright, which will protect things like films, music scores, books.
Right.
And then you have registered designs, which will protect how things look.
Okay.
And to some extent, some of them are interchangeable. They all have different... You have to do different things in order to be able to gain protection under them. They last for different periods of time. You do different things to infringe them.
Okay. So would it be true to say that the umbrella term for all of those things is intellectual property?
It's
kind of an umbrella term rather than a thing in itself. Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of people shorten it to IP, which is why we're always called Nucleus IP.
Absolutely.
And I'm forever explaining to people on the phone it's IP as in not IT.
But yeah.
Which causes quite a lot of confusion sometimes.
Does anyone call you Nuclear IP?
Yeah, Nuclear IP, exactly. Yeah.
Let's look at a couple of those things, if we may, because it is an incredibly interesting topic, even though you said to me earlier people glaze over when you cocktail parties, you tell them what they do. But I think it's actually a fascinating subject because there's so many things that can come under this, and there are a lot of misconceptions out there. We were talking off air earlier with Sean and Mark, who run a WordPress agency, and I also own a web development agency, and it is one of those things that people can come across quite often. But I'm going to come back to something you said about trademarks. And interestingly, I own a company whose name I tried to trademark, but I was forbidden from doing it.
Okay.
Because the name of my company is a phrase that you could use. It's Jobs in Kent, basically, was the name of my company. But they wouldn't let me trademark it because they said, no, it's a phrase that anyone could use.
Yes.
Yeah, so you do get kind of those kind of things, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the best trademarks in the world are always the invented words, the Googles and the Kodaks, the totally made-up words.
Yeah.
You can register dictionary words such as virgin,
right,
because Richard Branson's selling airplane tickets. He's not selling virgins, thankfully. But the more descriptive the phrase or the word is of what you're using it in relation to, the harder it will be to protect, which is probably why you ran into problems with Jobs in Kent, because it will probably directly describe what it is or what it does.
It's an activity,
And I find that really interesting because I get picked at all the time. I can probably say when somebody says, oh, what's your company called? It's a bird and a bike. I say, oh, is it a motorbike? We had it last week, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a motorbike? Is it? I say, no. So it's got no relation to what I do.
Mm.
So that's you're saying that actually helps the trademark, because I've trademarked bird and a bike.
Yes.
So it's trademarked in certain areas.
Yeah.
But then you think, well, should I trademark it in as many areas as I can? How much do I invest it? So I've got loads of questions to ask you.
Well, I mean, generally, when I sit down with somebody, I usually encourage them to think about where their business may be in the next couple of years.
Mm.
Because the way the trademark system works, it's split into 45 different classes of goods and services. And the more classes you go into, the more it costs you to protect.
Mm.
And whilst it might be tempting to register your mark in lots of classes that you're not going to use it in, you are then potentially widening the prospect of banging heads with a third party who may have a legitimate interest in using a similar mark to yours in a totally unrelated field. So
you're saying the best trademarks for us are making a name up or something that isn't relative to...
Best ones are invented words.
Yeah.
The easiest thing to do is get a group of friends together, go down the pub, buy everybody a couple of pints. Somebody sits there with a pad and a pencil.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I don't know, maybe the first word that they can see on, I don't know, on a poster or something. I mean, I'm sitting here now, I can see the on-air sign, so I'll say on-air.
Mm.
All that you do is that people keep shouting out the first thing that comes into their mind. don't think about it, just the first thing that comes into your head. Somebody writes them all down until you exhaust that process. Then you have a look at what you've got at the end and you may have something that's quite useful.
Yes,
if it doesn't work, you buy another pint and do it again.
because on talking about that, because on this show we spend a lot of time talking with new and startup businesses, and it is an interesting thing as well that you're raising there, Andy, because a lot of businesses start a business, think of a name, and then try to register the URL, the Twitter handle, the Facebook page, only to find that they've all gone, mm-hmm. and they end up having to concoct convoluted things with underscores in them and, you know, .nets and all the rest of it just to get by. So it is actually the whole field of naming an organisation is becoming a bit of a minefield, really.
Mm. It is a bit of a minefield, to be honest with you. And as I say, when I sort of said we like to think of ourselves as the friendly aspect of the legal profession, then, you know, we will often sit down with people and have a chat to them for an hour for free.
Yeah.
So that they can ask us some questions, and hopefully when they leave, they'll know a little bit more than they did when they first came in. Sure. If they decide to pursue it afterwards, that's great. If they decide not to, then that's fine too. But
talking of getting some free advice.
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I want to ask you a couple of what I hope are fairly basic questions, but the kind of things that I think people that aren't used to this when they've got a small business kind of trip over. And in my world, which is software and digital, you see this quite a lot. So first and foremost, a lot of people get confused over who actually owns the copyright of a website that you've had designed by somebody else. Yeah.
Generally speaking, the person who designs it will be the owner of the copyright.
Right.
It's not the person who commissions it.
Yeah.
It can get complicated. I mean, if you sketch something on the back of a napkin down the pub with your friends and then take it to a designer and say, I'm not the world's greatest artist, but this is the sort of logo I would like for my business. Could you tidy it up a little bit? The fact that you have probably, you created that image in the first place, you own the copyright in it.
Right.
Alternatively, if you trot along to a local design company and say, we'd like a new logo for our business, could you rough out 5 possible variations and then we'll choose the 3 and we can work those up? They will own the copyright because they have created it.
Okay.
That copyright can be transferred to you, but it needs to be transferred to you in a written document. It can't be transferred orally.
Okay. So basically, if you've had a website or anything designed for you and you wish to have the copyright, you need to negotiate that with the original designer and have it in writing that they've handed it over to you before you fall out with them.
Yes, definitely before you fall out with them. We get lots of people who come to us after the event or there is subsequently a dispute and they can't remember, you know, perhaps who might have designed the logo.
Right.
So that can cause all sorts of problems.
Absolutely. Now, I want to ask you a supplementary question, if I may. I mean, if this is
isn't
all
your free consultation with him for an hour. I want to ask him some stuff as well.
You wait. This is just in the interest of getting...
He's loaded. He's loaded with the finger, so you've got to be careful. He's getting really excited about it all.
The other thing that I think can confuse people is if somebody actually works for you and writes a piece of software or a bit of code, under those circumstances, who owns the copyright to the code?
As a general rule of thumb, if somebody is employed by you to do that as part of their job, then as their employer, you will own the software.
Right.
If somebody creates something like that when they're not employed, or when they're employed by you but they're employed to do something else...
Yeah.
Say they're employed as the receptionist or whatever, then there is an argument for saying that they would own the copyright because you've employed them to do a specific job. Mm. If they create a copyright work as part of that job as their employer, it's arguably yours.
Okay.
I mean, every case is different.
As
a rough rule of thumb, if they create something that's totally outside what they've been employed to do, then there's an argument for saying it's theirs.
Yeah, okay. And just one last question on that.
And
shut up. And I know, you know, this is an open-ended thing. But if you employ someone on a freelance basis to do it, what does it happen?
Well, the same sort of thing. It depends what you've employed them to do. So some of the sort of rules will apply.
Okay, cool. Good. Thank you for that. Yeah, Natalie.
Yeah, I'd like to ask, there is something that comes again and again and again, is the photography.
Yes.
On social media and website.
Yeah.
There are still a lot of people who believe that because it's out there, they can
right-click,
take it, and use it. It happens all the time.
No, I mean, the copyright in the photograph will belong to the photographer.
Mm.
So the person who composed the image.
It's interesting, and that is a really interesting one for those of us that do social media and for those of us that design websites. A while back, there was a Dutch company, and I'm sure there are other companies, who were actually going around the world pursuing people that had stolen images on behalf of the original copyright owner. I guess it was some kind of money-making thing that they were doing.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that woke a lot of people up because they, as Natalie said, they go, but I found it, I Googled it and I found it, yeah. But it doesn't give you the right to use it. It
doesn't give you the right to use it. There are agencies out there that will buy photographs or commission photographs from photographers.
Yeah.
And then you can pay that agency a fee to use those images.
There are still people, so don't worry, I'll find one on Google, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but there are also agencies like Raw Pixel, for instance, and I'd like to give them a plug because I think they're brilliant. Raw Pixel have a whole heap of free things.
Don't get me onto that.
you really do need to check. I mean, often if you're following, say, Formula One or something like that, and you're reading the report about the qualifying for that day on your phone, and they've got photographs of the various drivers, you will often see a lot of them. It's quite small, but if you blow the photograph up, there'll often be an accreditation, Getty Images or whatever it might be, because they may own the image of that, or they may own that image of that particular racing driver.
Absolutely.
It might not have been taken at that particular qualifying event.
Mm.
It may have been taken at some other race in the previous year, but they will own the copyright in that photograph, so there will usually be an accreditation to acknowledge that fact.
Absolutely.
And there is another thing that even artists don't realize. I'm just plugging it because it's interesting. For example, you buy a painting from an artist, so you purchase the actual work, put it on your wall. You still don't know you don't own the copyright. You own the actual work.
Yes.
But the copyright still is with the artist. So you can't do reproductions.
I couldn't run off print copies of it.
You couldn't.
No.
Hold on.
Only the artist can. And the artist
retains the copyright.
And only the artist can make mugs and T-shirts.
So all my copies of the tennis playing woman scratching her bum, I've got a scrap of it.
Oh, but that's image right.
You've got to be a certain age to remember that.
Yeah.
I think everybody had that on their bedroom wall, didn't they?
Exactly, yeah.
If you were a certain age.
Bird, you wanted to ask something.
Oh, thanks.
No,
excellent.
That's all right,
you've had your hour, now it's mine.
Yeah.
Excellent. What's relevant at the minute? What should we all be doing with trademark? We're all told you've got a trademark, you've got to put the barriers in, you've got to protect yourself. What are you suggesting to companies?
There are lots of simple things that you can do. Most people are familiar with the copyright symbol, the C in a circle. Most people are familiar with the R in a circle symbol, and some people are familiar with the letters TM. You will often see those next to things. A lot of people know they mean something legal, but they don't kind of understand the differences. Generally speaking, you can only use R in a circle if you've registered it as a trademark with the United Kingdom Intellectual Property Office. C in a circle, you can stick next to anything once you've created something that would qualify as a copyright work. And TM, you can put next to any trademark to put people on notice that you are claiming rights in whatever it is next to. So they all act, if you like, as effective keep off the grass, beware of the dog, no fishing signs. And the analogy I always use is if you go out for a walk in the countryside and it starts to rain, and there's one field with loads of signs saying trespassers will be shot or trespassers will be eaten, you aren't going to take a shortcut across that field to get back to the car park, are you? You're going to walk onto the next one and sort of take a shortcut across that one.
So. Yeah.
So you're suggesting that people do those symbols or they go for their trademarking?
Yes, either that or apply.
It takes time going through the website, that trademarking thing. It takes time.
Well, I was going to ask, Annie, just to kind of step us through a typical process of someone that comes to you and says, right, I need your help getting the intellectual property for my product or service on board. What kind of processes do you go through as attorneys? What kind of things do we have to think about?
Okay.
Yeah, is that...
We will sit down with them and give them some advice as to whether we think the mark's registrable in the first place.
Right.
Whether it's likely to be accepted, if it's too descriptive, like your jobs in Kent.
Yeah.
We will sort of say to them, you know, really, you're wasting your time. We will try if you would like us to try, but to be quite honest, we think you're wasting your money. And if we think you're wasting your money, we'll tell you.
Yeah.
If we think the mark is registrable, or then we will sit down with you and work out what it is that you are going to be doing under that mark, and then we'll prepare some specifications, which are written descriptions of all the goods or services you may wish to cover. We'll ask you to think about where you may see your business developing over the next couple of years, so that we can cover those at the same time, because it's cheaper to do it. It's cheaper to do it in one go rather than go back at a later date.
Is that from a geographic point of view?
No. Once a trademark is registered, it covers all. It covers the entire United Kingdom. So,
but does it cover outside the United Kingdom? No.
Trademark registration is territorial by nature. So if you want rights in the UK, you register in the UK. You want rights in America, you register in America. Okay. If you want rights in South Africa, you register in South Africa.
So it could be possible, if you had a unique thing, a really unique thing that you were scared of losing, you could have to register it in 195 countries.
You could have to. I mean, there are international conventions. There's the European Union trademark, which covers all, well, currently 28 countries of the European Union, soon to be 27. So there are ways you can try and minimise the cost of having to go to each country individually.
Right.
But the general rule of thumb is you go to each country individually.
Right, okay.
And it's really interesting because I've got a global company that I sell online, so I sell it everywhere in the world.
Mm.
How do you then protect yourself? Because obviously I've got a trademark on Barton Bike. That is, I managed to get it through, don't know how, just, you know, and I put all my apparel and everything I could see. So exactly what we've done, I'm like, yes. But then, obviously, I sell it in the US, I sell it in Asia, and especially I sell my show, so we syndicate my show. Who does that...
Ideally, you should be protecting those rights in all of the countries that you are in.
How exciting, Andrew.
Well, it gets expensive as well.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, generally speaking, there are ways and means of doing it to reduce costs. I mean, the UK is a signatory to something called the Madrid Protocol, which effectively allows you to bounce your UK registration to other countries that are also signatories at a slightly reduced cost than going to that country directly.
Mm.
But you still have to go through the examination process in each country before your mark is registered.
And you're surely finding this now with the internet, sorry, but it's so interesting, isn't it?
It's a fascinating subject.
You're finding now that the internet, we're a global business. All of us should be a global business.
Yeah.
How do we then, so we're protected in the UK, how do we start to build that protecting our company?
I mean, the courts have struggled a little bit to sort of keep up with that, and the general kind of rule of thumb is if the site is aimed at people in a different country. So, for example, your apparel. If there is a page whereby Americans can buy your apparel in dollars, then there's obviously a justifiable argument to say that a part of that website or a tab within that website is intended to be used and accessed by American customers. And that will then support any application that you might make in America.
Interesting, isn't it? Great.
It can be a
bit of a minefield if you don't know what you do. I mean, lots of people go off and try and do it themselves, which is fine. Mm. I mean, you can service your own car if you know what you're doing, but if you don't know what you're doing, you undo the wrong bolt and you end up with a face full of warm oil. And we get a lot of people coming to us with faces full of warm oil.
Do they come prophylactically or do they come post injury?
Some people come afterwards when they've got a problem, and then when we sit down and talk it through with them, they sort of say, I kind of wish we'd come to you to begin with. The reason most people don't when they're a small business is because they're trying to save money.
Of course.
And they think that if they do it themselves, they will often save money. But unfortunately, when they run into problems, they start to realise that what they may have registered might actually not be what they really needed to register, and then we have to go through the whole process again.
Mm.
And it often costs a lot more to try and put it right afterwards than if they'd just come to us in the first place.
Fantastic. We've kind of run out of time. We've got a join the newsroom shortly. Now, people can come and meet you and hear you, because you're going to do a keynote talk at the Grow Kent Maidstone show next Tuesday, I believe. People can come along, meet you and see you and hear you there. What are you going to be talking about at Grow Kent?
I'm just going to give people a basic introduction to trademarks and intellectual property generally, really. Most people, as I say, they don't really, you know, going back to what we were talking about before with the dragons, they kind of know that it's there, but they don't always, they know it's something that their business should be thinking about and doing, but they're not quite sure how best to go about it. So it's really just to give them some basic tips and some basic guidance.
Kind of like we've been talking about now. Andrew, it's a fascinating topic. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It really, really is good of you to do that. If people want to find out more about Nucleus IP, you and your company, what's the best way to do that?
You can go onto the website, nucleus-ip.com, or you can email me directly. Or you can just email info@nucleus-ip.
Fantastic.
And it's a hyphen, not an underscore. I always end up in the same. So you can get in touch with us that way. And if you want to come in and have a chat, we'll happily make you a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and give you some very nice biscuits. And when you leave, all being well, you should know a little bit more than you did when you first came through the door.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for that, Andrew. It's a real pleasure to hear from you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show and do feel free to join in. But for the moment, Andrew Murch of Nucleus IP, thank you so much. The link to Nucleus is on the Biz Radio website and it will stay on there forever. So if you want to find it and you didn't write it down, if you go into bizradio.co.uk, into the homepage, the link to Nucleus is on there and will stay there. We're kind of fast approaching the news. Have you got one very quick thing to read? But only if it's really
quick. Yes, Milan Focus. You're incredibly quiet, everybody on Business Bunker. That's Sean, Mark and Natalie. I'm sure it won't be for much longer. Vanilla Web and Bird and a Bike. We're on a roll, she says.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they haven't been on yet, Denise.
They haven't yet.
We've been holding them back.
Are you not here, Sean?
I'm behaving myself.
Denise, this is a very professional show.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Is it?
we do this to the point.
Oh, yeah, we do. Sorry.
I
missed the cue. Yeah, you're right.
I saw it, yes. And a quick one here. It says, Vanilla Web, Bird and a Bike. I think you should give a shout out for the Skills 3030. We're really looking forward to attending Hartsdown Academy in Margate on the 14th of June. There you are, me.now.
Cool. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom right now.
On the hour, Channel Radio news update.